message for Democrats. The time for small ideas is over.
Well, vaping is better than that. Yes, but again, that is not saying much.
You know, they thought they were upgrades at the time, and now we look and we go, ah!
Hi, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. Thanks for joining us again. On this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, Massachusetts U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren speaks to Democrats at their convention in Springfield. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo puts a halt to flavored e-cigarette sales. And we head inside the century-old Amsterdam Free Library. Well, the Massachusetts Democratic Party held its annual convention in Springfield on Saturday, and the focus was on 2020. WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill was there.
Democrats have a job to do in 2020. Beat Donald Trump. Are you ready for 2020? Ready to win?
Massachusetts U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren took time off the presidential campaign trail to speak at the state party's convention, where delegates greeted her like a rock star. And Warren returned the compliments from the roughly 4,000 activists gathered in Springfield's MassMutual Convention Center.
Because of your grit, because of your determination, because of your will to fight, Massachusetts has been a beacon of light, shining hope across this country.
In her keynote address to the convention, Warren pressed her national campaign's message of bringing big structural change to America's economy and society. She enumerated the many plans that have become a bedrock and signature of her campaign.
So I'm here with a message for Democrats. The time for small ideas is over.
The convention delegates also showered the state's junior U.S. Senator, Ed Markey, with cheers. Markey is facing a challenge to re-election next year from two and possibly three other Democrats.
I am running for re-election, and I am asking you to join me in these fights that will define our future.
In an unusual move for an issues-only convention, party officials decided to let Markey's two announced challengers address the delegates. Steve Pemberton is a businessman from New Bedford who grew up in foster care after his father was killed by gun violence and his mother died of a drug overdose.
I am running because we should have a United States Senate that reflects the diversity of experiences in America.
The other announced challenger to Markey is Shannon Liz Reardon, an attorney who specializes in workers' rights cases.
I am in this race because I believe that the Democratic Party has failed working people.
Massachusetts Congressman Joe Kennedy III has said he is considering challenging Markey in a Senate primary next year with an appeal for generational change. Markey, speaking with reporters, said he's focused on his reelection bid and not on what others might do.
The response I received today is the response I'm receiving all across the Commonwealth, no matter which community or group that I am appearing before. So I feel very good about the response that I'm receiving today, but every day during the course of this campaign.
Polls suggest Kennedy would beat Markey. Kennedy did not address the convention. He took part in a panel discussion in Springfield on confronting racism in politics. Afterwards, he told reporters he'll make a decision about a Senate candidacy soon.
I don't think primaries is something that people should shy away from. The idea behind it is that every seat, my own included, the one that I currently occupy as a House member of the House of Representatives, it's up every 2 years. It's a two-year term. You have to go out and make that case to voters every 2 years. I don't think that's something that anybody should shy away from about saying, hey, are you uneasy about making that case and putting the choice before voters about where they stand?
On the eve of the convention, Markey was endorsed for re-election by New York U.S. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Reporting from Springfield, this is Paul Tuthill, the WAMC's Pioneer Valley News Bureau, on the campus of Western New England University.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has issued an executive order to direct the state health department to ban all flavored electronic cigarettes. It's in response to a vaping health emergency that has sickened hundreds and killed six people. Capitol correspondent Karen DeWitt reports.
The lung ailment, which has been contracted by 64 New Yorkers, has so far been linked to black market marijuana vaping products that also contain liquid vitamin E oil. But the governor says vaping of any substance is not a healthy practice, and it's addicting an alarming number of young people. Cuomo says vaping is better than smoking combustible cigarettes, but not by much.
Vaping is better than smoking. Technically, yes, but so what? Smoking is terrible. It's virtually a high-risk potential death situation. Well, vaping is better than that. Yes, but again, that is not saying much.
Cuomo says vaping should only be used by adults who have tried other methods to quit, including nicotine patches, nicotine-laced gum, and therapy, and have been unsuccessful. The governor says his health commissioner, Dr. Howard Zucker, will direct the Public Health and Health Planning Council to take steps to impose a ban on flavored e-cigarettes that are attractive to children.
Names like bubblegum, cotton candy, Captain Crunch, which was my favorite. These are obviously targeted to young people and highly effective at targeting young people.
Menthol-flavored e-cigarettes will still be allowed to be sold. The American Cancer Society and the American Heart Association both issued statements Sunday afternoon saying the ban does not go far enough. They say menthol and mint-flavored e-cigarettes should also be included because they are also attractive to children. Health Commissioner Zucker says there is some evidence that menthol flavors help people who are trying to quit regular cigarettes and have been unsuccessful with the other methods, so he's not ready to ban those flavors right now. The ban could take effect in as soon as 2 weeks. President Donald Trump has also said he wants to direct the Federal Food and Drug Administration to ban flavored e-cigarettes nationwide, but Cuomo says he does not know for certain whether that will indeed happen. The governor says vaping has become a burgeoning health crisis. He compares it to the tobacco epidemic of earlier decades and the current opioid problem. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
The Amsterdam Free Library, which is more than a century old, has been nominated for a spot on the National and New York State Registers of Historic Places. Officials at the library are envisioning what the building could look like in the future. WAMC's Southern Adirondack Bureau Chief Lucas Willard got a tour from Library Director Nicole Hemsley.
This building is a Carnegie Library. The board in 1902 wrote Andrew Carnegie asking for funds for Amsterdam to have a public library. He agreed so long as they found a plot of land and that the city agreed to support them. So this is the plot of land that they were able to get. Construction started in 1902. It wasn't complete until 1903. Apparently had been a very bad winter. It's Beaux-Art style construction, architecture. And we've had the, unfortunately had to have the front redone recently because of a fire in 2017. So all of the plaster has been repaired. We had to repair some limestone and bluestone on this side, which was all done with the guidance of our architect, John G. Waite and Associates in Albany, with SHPO guidance and historic significance. We also had the front doors redone, and those are exact replicas of the original original doors.
And just looking at the outside of the building, there's the ornate pillars here.
Yes.
And there's the beautiful molding up top.
Yes.
And there's this sign over the door. What's the significance of the sign over the door?
Well, in 1895, the women on the board of the Amsterdam Library Association, it had actually been a membership. You had to pay to be able to be a part of it. That's before this building was built. The women on the board decided they wanted it a free, open to all library. So they wrote and published a newspaper, and with the proceeds, they were able to spend the money to be able to have us put, have a charter made, and we became a free library. That sign is honestly my favorite feature of the entire building. It says everything, open to all. You know, a lot of hard work has been put into making sure not only that Amsterdam had this resource, but continues to have this resource.
Let's go inside.
Sure.
You know, over the years, there have been a lot of upgrades. Right now, we just received word that we're getting a grant to repair plaster ceilings because we are taking out fluorescence and installing LED energy efficient light fixtures that would be more consistent with what would have originally been here.
What can you tell me about the bookshelves and this reading room?
They're original. Oak, most all of the woodwork in here is oak. We also have this beautiful window seat.
And a fireplace.
Fireplace, yes. We have three fireplaces. They're not working anymore, but they are decorative. This is the dumbwaiter. So this is what you would have put before elevators. This is what you would have put the books on and gotten them floor to floor. They removed it from upstairs. I would like to replace the top portion upstairs and open the mezzanine again.
So there's changes to the building that have been made over the years. There's an addition on the back. There's an elevator that was put in.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, some things sort of had to be moved around. But it's your goal to restore the library to, with a new addition, restore the interior of the front of the building to look exactly as it
exactly.
used to look.
Exactly, and that's where being on the register opens up that whole world of federal funding and grants and preservation that with, you know, the help of our architect, we're able to, we hope at some point, it all takes time to get it back to where it was originally. And that's everything from the vinyl wallpaper they put up in the 80s, the fluorescent lights. You know, they thought they were upgrades at the time, and now we look and we go, ah! So back here, this addition was put on in 1979. And, you know, of course, the quality of the construction is never the same.
As a 1902 versus a 1979,
yes.
You
so
mean?
We're having some issues. The addition is slowly starting to pull itself off the original building. We're not in any danger or anything, but it's, you know, it's not the beauty of the original building. And this is the only floor we have of the addition. So a few years ago, you know, with the architects, I was kind of joking around. I'm like, let's just tear off the addition and put on a new one. And then it literally took on a life of its own. I think people thought I was crazy. But now we have, you know, it worked. So this is going to get taken off, and then we're going to have a new one put up, but it's going to be three floors. So it's going to start in the basement, second floor, and then a third floor.
So how significant is the DRI to making this happen? And then how far along is there a capital campaign for the library? How do we get from where we are right now to a re-realized sort of library?
The DRI is the linchpin. We do have to get further funding, and we are going after other grants. We are working on constant fundraising, and we are working on a large capital campaign right now for next year, early next year, which I will advertise. You know, this is anytime you're dealing with an entity that is a not-for-profit and we don't have very much money, it's puzzle pieces. So the DRI is the first puzzle piece, and it's the state having faith in us. All right, you're going to go out and you're going to get what else you need to get this project done. And with the help of Amanda Bearcroft up at City Hall and our architects, actually, we're in MVLS, Mohawk Valley Library System, we are going after some other grants that will help do pieces at a time. So it's like a jigsaw puzzle. But I have faith that we will get it done, and I'm really, really excited.
Well, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News podcast. Stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Thanks for joining us. Till next time, I'm Ian Pickus.